Broncos coach Kevy Walters coming up shortly. Great to have Brad Rosen and Stewie Clark filling in today with Loz advancing International Rugby League over in Singapore. He can give us a full
report.
You
do have a chuckle every time you say that.
Everyone
just the way he said it.
He said it yesterday. He's trying to fool us.
Advancing the sport.
Yeah. It's going to take the game to India and China and everywhere else and make a fortune.
Need to work out who's on that board.
Loza.
I'm going to Google it. I'm going to use your computer here. I'm going to Google who's on that board.
For it.
Oh, yeah. International Rugby League board.
Pup, obviously, over there in India at the moment, commentating on the Indian Premier League.
Your shoulders all right, mate? Having to carry everyone?
Mate, we're fine. We're fine. Last night, Travis Head, he carried Sunrisers Hyderabad. He had some help, but he did make 102 off 41 deliveries as they beat Royal Challengers Bengaluru by 25 runs in huge totals for both these sides.
Remember when people used to get 100 off 101 or 105 balls and you thought that is
amazing.
Unbelievable. Best cricketer ever. Mm. Off 40 balls.
Yeah. He's at his best, Travis Head. Well, we saw it during the World Cup, particularly in the final, didn't we? He's a talent when he's flying. 3 for 287 as opposed to 7 for 262. So not a game for the bowlers. As Stewie's just learning who's on the board here of the International Rugby League. And some heavy hitters are on there, Stu.
I'm a little bit concerned because Troy Grant, he's the chair.
Yeah,
Andrew Abdo. Peter Volandis.
Greg Peters used to be the boss of Sanzar.
Yeah, Greg Peters, yeah. There is a bloke that's not on there. Laurie Daly's not on there.
Oh, right, hasn't been updated. Okay.
Oh, no worries.
Okay, right.
Are you sure?
Well,
I think you both have been stitched up.
He's in Fiji having a lovely holiday, good old Loz.
Right.
More power to him if he is, because that's he sold us an unbelievable furphy, if that's the case.
Well, he's gone. He's not on there. So, okay, we'll have to see if there's an article or something about it. Laurie Daly being updated. I'll keep going. You keep going.
Go on. Google Laurie Daly. See what comes up. Anyway. Yeah.
Photos of him in Fiji. That's what comes up.
The Oli Roos scoreless draw against Jordan in Qatar overnight in the opening match of the under-23 Asian Cup. And this morning in the Premier League, Chelsea have obliterated Everton. 6-0. So it's there. Laurie Daly appointed to International Rugby League board.
Just hasn't been updated. All right, I'll take that back. He's on there. So he's 20th of February.
Where's that picture from?
I don't know, but he had a lot more hair back in that photo there.
Well, he had a haircut the other day.
Did he?
And he tends to cut his hair when he knows he's got some big events coming up.
Just out of interest, is there any Just for Men in there, you think?
No.
You reckon it's natural?
Yeah, I do.
Come on.
I'm buying a furphy, aren't I? Okay.
He's on. Let's take that back.
He's on the board?
He's there.
So you're convinced. You weren't convinced, were you?
Got to check
this
stuff out.
No, Lozzie's on the International Rugby League board. There he is, advancing the game. Well, joining us now, the Broncos, fresh off that impressive win against the Dolphins, Ricky and the Raiders are next for them. And to grab your tickets and memberships, just head to www.broncos.com.au. Great to have their coach, Kevy Walters, joining us. Kevy, good morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm excellent. Thanks. Yeah, nice to be on the show, boys. I've been on for a while, so good.
Kev, just before we start, any chance you're going to get yourself onto the International Rugby League board and go to Singapore for a couple of days? It sounds like a bit of a junket, to be honest with you.
Oh, no, that's Laurie's a hard worker, as we all know, so that would not be a junket. That would be serious stuff. They're going to solve the problems of the rugby league world, I would have thought, over in Singapore. So get on your Laurie.
He's a problem solver. All right, Kevy, 3-3 start after the 28-14 win over the Dolphins. What mark out of 10 would you give your club start to the season?
Oh, we'd probably go a 7 out of 10. I reckon we've had a tough start to the year with our draw, having to go overseas, and then we've had some little injuries as well. So I'm quite content with our start to the season. Obviously, it could have been a little bit better, but, we're moving in the right direction here, I believe, at the Broncos.
Kevy, I'm always interested and love talking to coaches. Obviously, last year, outstanding season. Yes, we know what happened in the grand final, but how much do you as a coach reflect on last season, or is it in the back pocket, move on, new season, new team?
Yeah, well, it's in the back pocket, new season, new team, certainly new players. that's for sure. And it's also a very new season. We're 6 weeks into it. So we did put to bed last year what happened throughout the whole season, not just the grand final. I thought it was a terrific year, you know, on our behalf. But if I take my mind back to my playing days, every year was different in many ways. So this year is different to last year, different to the year before. So we need to take that approach and just continue, you know, here at the Broncos. We've got some exciting young talent coming through and also some more established players now. So we need to keep developing the attitudes of our players and of our staff to maintain, you know, a high standard of footy.
It certainly are in this excitement machine. Payne Haas, he's been out with a knee injury. It's a big loss, middle of the field. Is he getting closer to being back on deck?
Yeah, he's certainly getting closer. I don't believe he'll be playing this weekend, but certainly the weekend after, it's the Tigers at Campbelltown will probably be the match that Payne, you know, comes back into the side. We don't want to rush him back too early. Obviously, he's a very important part of our team up here in Brisbane, and we want to make sure that he's, you know, 100% fit coming back into the side so we can give Payne every opportunity to play his best football, you know, for the Broncos.
Kebby, Canberra, tough team. Obviously, you know them very well. You face them this Saturday night. What do you see from this weekend?
Yeah, they're a no-frills side. They're a very tough side, well-coached. Sticky's doing a great job down there with them, you know, at the Raiders. And, they've always been the Broncos-Raiders games way back to the 90s. Have always been, you know, of a high standard and lots of good quality players. So I expect this one to be no different. Last year, they gave us a tough time here, you know, at Suncorp Stadium. Well, I'm not allowed to talk about last year, am I? So let's just talk about this year. And their form's been great. You know, they had a good win again on the weekend. So they'll come up here, you know, pretty confident of, you know, doing well. But likewise, you know, we're at home and we love the fact that we're taking on the Raiders. They're a good, experienced side. Looking forward to Saturday night, that's for sure.
Sorry, mate. I was going to say, Billy, playing some good footy. How you're obviously enjoying coaching your son. There must be times though that it could potentially get awkward.
No, it's not really. I've sort of brought that awkwardness out early in the relationship here at the Broncos. So, when Billy's here and at the Broncos, we treat him as Billy, the signed contracted player for the Broncos. And whilst we're not in these walls and in these buildings, he's, you know, the son. So. Yeah, I really enjoy coaching my kids, and particularly here at the Broncos. Billy's, you know, I think he's made some huge improvements, you know, to his game over the last couple of years, and I feel there's still more in Billy. It's up to me as his coach and his father as well to make sure that improvement continues because, there's certainly a lot more football left in Billy, I believe.
Kevy, 6-4 at halftime against the Dolphins last Friday night. What do you feel improved to turn the match in your favour?
Well, we just grabbed those opportunities. I won't say luck because you make your own luck on a football field, but we got a couple of opportunist tries back-to-back sort of quickly, which gave us the confidence to go on. I felt our first half we were a little bit disappointing. We should have picked up a couple more tries had we been, you know, on song as such. So. But the second half was better for us. I thought we defended, you know, better in the second half as well, except for that last sort of period when they picked up a couple of tries. But generally, our defence was much better and stronger, which, you know, that's one thing we've been working really hard on here at the Broncos. And every year we have is our defence because we know we can score points. It's stopping them has been our problem this year. I think it's the same with a lot of teams, though. The game seems to be changing, though. People want to see nice attacking, you know, rugby league, which doesn't help your defence too much at times.
Kevy, a lot of talk about golden point and the way the game changes. And there's, you know, players that watch it, we feel that, you know, it's a completely different game in that time. As a coach, what is your instructions to the players in a golden point situation?
Well, the only instruction is to, if you win the toss or receive, because that's gives you possession first, which means you're going to get one extra set over the period. It's certainly... I'm not a fan of golden point, I've got to say, as a coach. I feel after 80 minutes, if you can't get a result one way or the other, well, each team should take away a point. Mm-hmm. And we see the rules, again, on the weekend with the golden point. Clearly, there was an infringement there. which wasn't picked up, and at the end of the day, it cost the Gold Coast the game, really. When, you know, if we can't, like I said before, get something decided over 80 minutes, well, you know, let's just take home a point each and we'll all be happy.
Selwyn Cobbo, fair to say, he's adjusted to the centres pretty well, Kevy. How confident are you could keep both Selwood and, for that matter, Katoni Staggs beyond their current deals and be long-term Broncos players?
Yeah, well, that's the plan, is to keep both of them. Obviously, you know, they both bring a different type of skill set, you know, to our team. Katoni was, I thought, was one of our best players on the weekend with his robust carries and defensively very strong as well. Well, Selwyn's a bit more flighty, and Selwyn sort of picked up a couple of tries. And, yeah, we'd dearly love to hang on to both players, obviously. But that, again, the salary cap sort of has a handle on that, on which players you can keep. And it's an ongoing battle. As we've seen, a lot of the stronger teams, you know, lose players that they don't particularly want to lose, but the salary cap is there to balance out the competition. But yeah, we'll be doing our best to keep both. We love them here at the Broncos and what they both bring here to the club as well.
There's so much talk about the salary cap. You turn on any rugby league show and they're talking about it's a real science, it's a real art. I'd imagine you have a team of people that are looking at your players' movement, who's in the market. It's actually quite a complicated process, isn't it?
Oh, it's a huge job, and it just never sleeps. there's always players, you know, in negotiation, other clubs trying to, you know, pinch your players, or not pinch them, but make them offers. So it is certainly a very important part of your club. It's the most important part of your club, that you get your cap right and your roster right. And when I first came in here back in 2021, you know, it was all over the place. So and you'll find that some of the clubs that are struggling, that their salary cap is the main issue. You know, they're spending money probably where they shouldn't on players. It's a big ask, and you've got to get that right before you even get on the field and start coaching. You've got to get your salary cap right and your roster right, which I feel like we're in a good place now here at the Broncos with our cap and our roster and the depth of our roster as well.
Kevy, last week you spoke about, you know, ensuring that players like Reece Walsh are protected, and there was that shot from Anthony Milford the other night. Are you satisfied with the 2 weeks that Milford got for that shot on Reece?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think it's paramount that we, you know, not just Reece Walsh, but all of the rugby league players, their safety and their protection on the field should be a priority. And if, you know, if there's illegal play or foul play, it needs to be adjudicated on. You know, there was no intent from Anthony Milford to hurt Reece Walsh, but it was just, you know, it was against the rules and against the law. So he'll cop his penalty, I'm sure, and get on with things. But yeah, Reece is obviously a very important part of our squad, and he's a target every week. So this sort of these incidents continue to bob up. We've got to make sure. My job as coach of Reece to make sure that they're policed properly, and that Reece is, you know, protected fairly on the field. It's a tough game in the NRL and very physical. That's fine as long as you don't, you know, get outside the rules and start trying to cheap shot players and the like. I'm comfortable with that, and comfortable with the league and the way they handled it.
Certainly. One last question for me. Pat Carrigan, he's just he leads your attack, he leads your defence, in the middle of the field, he's just a leader. I laughed when I saw him with the microphone, I think it was last year. I don't know, does he talk that much? Is that real, or is that just a bit of put on for...
No, he's continually talking on the field and off the field. Not just garbage, though, it's constructive
it was good.
Talk. You know, in our sport, in rugby league, communication is one of the key assets that you have as a player. And Paddy's got that. He's brilliant with the way he talks, and he's positive around the players as well. So he's a great asset for us, Paddy, and we're very blessed to have him, you know, in our squad. He's still a young guy as well. He's only 24, 25 years of age, so his best football's still in front of him. And if he can impart a lot of those learnings that he's got, we've got some younger forwards coming through. So, yeah, he's certainly another integral part of our team here at the Broncos. And we love the way he leads, you know, from the front, like you say, you know, with his defence, and also his attack is going to another level as well.
So, Kevy, Payne Haas not quite ready to return yet, but where are Adam Reynolds and Dean Mariner at?
Reno probably will be unavailable this week as well. We feel next week against the Tigers that he'll be right. And Dean Mariner's, we're doing some tests today with him, and we'll find out today whether he'll be right for the weekend. I suspect he could be okay to go, but certainly Renault's next week and Payne next week as well. And Brendan Piacura is the other one that's sitting on the sidelines at the moment for us as well. He'll be back next week as well against the Tigers. So some troops coming back, which is great, but also some still just waiting in the next couple of weeks to get them back on the field.
Of course, Origin looming as well as Billy Slater starting to get closer around the team, or more phone calls, etc. Kevy?
Bill's pretty private with his Origin stuff, I've got to say. But he'll have a good squad there to work with, certainly, for the Maroons. Oh, it's going to be another great series. You know, obviously, the Blues have got a new coach coming in Michael Maguire, so that'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. But, of course, it's Queensland to win 3-0 for my...
Kevy, I know you bleed Queensland. As a coach, though, you always want the best for your players, but where do you sit like, oh, God, I don't want them to get injured. I'm worried about how they'll, you know, come back and they perform and everything. How do you handle that?
Well, we want our players, and I'm certainly a big fan of Origin for them being involved. The benefits are they, you know, mix with the elite players from other clubs and see how they prepare and see how they train. And also, coaching-wise as well. I mean, Billy's a different coach to what I am, so they can, you know, get some good learnings around that as well. So for mine, it's a great experience for our players. We want them involved in Origin. It's a great concept. We've got some New South Wales players here that have snuck up over the border in the Broncos ranks as well. So
you sound so happy about that when you say it, Kevy.
Well, I'm not happy. The good ones we can take in. They're not so good ones, you know. But, you know, we've got Payne and Katoni. Renault's played for New South Wales. You know, obviously there's a contingent of Blues fans here as well, but it's mostly Queensland. And looking forward to the series this year. It should be another great one. And we'd love as many of our boys to be involved as possible.
Speaking of Renault, how's he going and how's the hamstring?
No, he's good, yeah. He's next week, I believe, against the Tigers, he'll come back. But he's starting to run a bit freer as such. And he's, you know, obviously a very important part to our team as well. He's our captain. And but whilst he's out, you know, Jock Madden's getting some great experience in the seven jumper, which is invaluable for us. So whilst Renault's not playing, it's also great, you know, that we've got Jock there, and Jock's doing a tremendous job, you know, in the shoes of Renault. He's a different type of player to what Adam is, but it's also good learnings for him to come into the side. And, you know, I thought he played well, you know, on the weekend. We'll need another strong performance from him this week against the Raiders.
Really appreciate your time, Kevy. Go well against the Raiders.
Thanks, guys. And maybe next time Laura will be back from his little jaunt over in Singapore and we can talk to him as well.
Well, he'll be up for Magic Round, Kevy, because they've got the 30-year 94 Premiership reunion.
Wow.
Right. Well, that'll be big. He'll be leading the charge there.
Watch out Caxton Street.
Exactly, yeah. Gee, that time goes fast, doesn't it?
Unbelievable.
My Lord.
No, good on you, Kevy. Thank you, mate.
Okay, good on you, Zets. Bye now.
Kevin Walters there, the Broncos coach, and the match. That's the 7:30 game Saturday night at Suncorp. Remember that the Raiders won this game, the corresponding match last year. The market with Tab has the Broncos $1.38, Canberra $3.10, and the line is 8.5.
You can see
for that one
why he's a fabulous coach. You can just hear it. You know, like you talk to, you know, some coaches be like, I don't want him to play. You know, like, I don't want to get injured. That's another game. He's like, that'll be better for them. It's always about the player. Fabulous. He's what a coach. I really, really love watching him and listening to how he goes about his business.
And at times, is load management overrated?
Says
a basketballer and a cricketer where it's big,
management.
But, you know, different sports,
management.
Different sports,
different.
Rugby league.
If you're injured, different. Load management, I'm not a fan of
it. It does get used in rugby league. Like, they put their RPE
time.
Or whatever it is, perceived exertion or something. And
I can understand it trainings, though. Like, I can see that. That's how, in basketball, that's how you do it, right? You manage the training, and I get that, not games.
They fill out the form after training, right? So if you don't put down 10, right, have you not tried hard enough?
Yeah.
I've 7 today.
Yeah.
Well, what? The game's on. It's win or lose.
Yeah.
You only gave yourself a 7 out of 10. Well, shouldn't you give yourself a 10 out of 10?
There was no pieces of paper back in that. You just play.
We sound like. We sound old, don't we?
Yeah, we are, actually. Not sound old. We are.
Yeah, good point. We're there.
Give us a call, 1353 53 0419 767 272. on the text line. Great to have Brad Rosen and Stewie Clark filling in this morning. Team news later today. Well, to keep an eye on Manly, for one, they've had some carnage out of the draw with the Warriors. So Ben Trbojevic has a hamstring injury, Toff Sipley a knee, and Josh Alloye copped a week for the dangerous contact on Sean Johnson at the end of the game, which led to the penalty, which sent it to extra time, which we had a bit of debate about yesterday. I hated the penalty. But as Loz said, in this day and age, any contact with the kicker, even though he didn't leave his feet and attack the legs,
you just can't do it.
Can't do it. Mm. I just don't know, as any sort of competitor under that situation, how you don't try and save the game for your team.
Yeah.
You blokes have played at the highest level. Your instinct at all times is to compete, is it not?
Yeah. I feel sorry for him. Look, the rule is what the rule is.
Now, yeah.
You can't touch them, but yeah, I don't know how you stop yourself from doing that. Because
how do you stop yourself?
But we've seen too many injuries.
Well, the diving at the legs part of it.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
We saw Lachie Elias break his leg in reserve grade the other day. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's the same thing, but the same intent, you know, to go on to get a kicker. What's the difference of what happened to Elias with the leg to what happened with that? But I know no injury, I get it, but it's the same intent, and you've got to draw a line somewhere.
Even the Chevy Stewart, yes, he gets to there for the charge down. Mm-hmm. That's intent, right? But if he goes a step later, his only option is to potentially dive. And if he doesn't get the dive right, he ends up, you're gonna hit the ground at some stage.
So hard, isn't it?
Well, and now the argument is he only got there anyway because he was offside.
That's what I mean. So you,
so you can't, like,
it's such a.
That's why we love sport.
Hard thing to pull out of. Like, it's a ridiculously hard thing for them to pull out of.
But Matt Lodge, he could return for Manly against Dez's Titans at the Gold Coast.
What a game this
Saturday
is for
night.
What a game for Titans. I mean, obviously they need a win.
Desperate.
Wow.
And they're playing Manly too, who are red hot at the moment. That's Dez. Is it at Brookvale?
It's Gold Coast.
I was going to say, Dez, you're returning to see if he can break the other door in the other room.
other team news, Brad Arthur, as far as Parramatta are concerned, they've got the Dolphins. That's in Darwin Friday night. And Brad Arthur on NRL 360 last night said rookie Braze Talangi, who, by the way, is also now a free agent, would be recalled as an impact player off the bench for that game. They're going to experiment with him a little bit. As Arthur said last night on Fox League, he provides X factor. So the other one, the Dogs as well, they've got the Knights on Sunday. Interesting to see what... Well, they're going all right. They're much better. They are, 100%. For sure. And what Cameron Serrato does at fullback, because Blake Taff will be available after he got concussed.
Yeah.
Obviously, against your Roosters, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
The other day.
Yes, yes.
And Connor Tracy.
26-0 at halftime. Still remember that one?
Mm-hmm. The Dogs were good in the first half in that game, and they nearly blew it.
Yep.
But Connor Tracy played there against the Storm the other night, and the Dogs nearly pulled that one out. Tracy played quite well. And you've still got Stephen Crichton there, and the debate will always be whether he's getting enough ball, similar to, I guess, the debate with Joey Manu at the Roosters as well. Yep. So what Cameron Serrato does there will be one to watch when the teams come out later today. And just on the Dogs, Viliami Kikau is now level with Kalen Ponga at the top of the Dally M standings as well.
Wow.
So they're on 17
points
each.
Not surprising, though. He's really led them. He's
unreal.
Been great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so they're two clear of Daly Cherry Evans, three clear of your Nicho Hynes at the Sharks.
Some blokes bang. Didn't you put the Sharks in the top in your top eight middos?
No, I didn't.
Disappointing, but anyway.
I didn't.
Obviously, Pup and Laurie didn't either.
I don't think we did, but don't worry. That's good for Sharks fans.
Yeah, no, you want to fly under the radar.
Just the way they want it.
You want to be under the radar. You don't want to be on top of the radar. You want to be under it.
When we make bold statements, you know, I'd love to know what their record is. Percentage-wise, I'm sure not great. As Gary from Wadalba points out every 4 seconds. Good on you, Gary, you genius. Mark, good morning, mate. How are you?
G'day, fellas.
What have you got for us, mate?
Just about this golden point, the chatter about that.
Yep.
With the NFL, both teams get a chance to possess the ball. So if one team, say, I kick off, and then our team goes down and scores a field goal, then the other team get a chance to possess the ball. So the team that's kicked the field goal, kick off, the other team gets possession. Now, if they score a try, or the first team scores a try, then it's game over. But both teams get a chance to possess the ball. Instead of just somebody, say, I kick off, and then the other team just runs straight up and then kicks the field goal, the game's over.
I think that,
but
I
if
think,
the other team gets a chance to possess the ball and then go back...
I agree with you, Mark. I understand what you're saying. I think, look, 9 out of 10, it doesn't... The first set, because you get pinned them down your own line, they don't get a chance to kick it, but they get an extra opportunity is what I suppose.
I guess that's why it's called golden point, though.
Yeah, so I appreciate
that. But if you score the try, then bingo, the game's over.
Mm.
So then it'd be more emphasis on scoring a try instead of trying to kick the field goal.
One of the other options you could potentially do is they make it golden point, it's just 10 minutes of extra time.
Yeah, and just... I actually prefer that.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and whatever happens, happens.
Happens, yeah. And then if it's a draw at the end of that, so it's not golden point.
Which is what it is in now in the finals.
Yeah.
You play your 10 minutes of extra time.
Yeah, you play 10
to determine the winner.
I'd imagine the coaches and the sports medical people...
Yeah, they prefer golden point.
They would go, well, hang on, that means they're going to work too hard and we're going to have to manage workloads.
Yeah, I see what Mark's saying, and it's a great point. Me, for one, is just let it slide and have golden try. Mm. That's what I might...
Thank you, Mark. Take your opinion. Robbo, how are you, Robbo?
Good morning. Don't swear. I've got the leader of the opposition in the car.
Okay, we'll be on our best behaviour.
Yeah, well, that'll be a change. But anyway, let's get there. This diving at the legs thing, I understand the rule is to protect the kicker. That's right. But in the case of LIA and in the Canberra game, that was ridiculous. LIA was trying to smother the ball. It's the same as they do in AFL, trying to smother the ball. And Johnson's leg contacted him. I've got it on video, a replay, and I've watched it four times. And FIFA have rung up. They want Johnson's number because that was the best Academy Award they've ever seen.
Well, he did what I'm sure
everyone else does.
Of the playmakers would have done in the same position. But I agree with you, Robbo. I agree with you. But now, unfortunately, like the obstruction rule, let's make it black and white. And if there's any contact, we've got to blow a penalty.
That's what it is.
And that's what they've done.
In the Raiders Titans game, Fogarty kicked the field goal, at the end. And if you have a look, the player actually grabbed him in the air. Yes, the ball had left. Their legs collided. Nothing happened. Well, that player should be on report if they're going to be serious about it because he contacted the legs of the player.
Yeah, you can find those sort of inconsistencies across all different rules. Robbo, I 100% take your point. 100%. But we're not going to win. We're not going to win. It's a penalty. No. It's going to be...
It is so black and white now, isn't it?
Black and white.
It's so black and white.
And black and white for a contact sport.
Yeah, there's no grey. There is no grey whatsoever.
And there are 26 players moving at high speed all over the place. And... all as competitive as one another.
Yeah. With different types of contact.
Robbo's right. There's
different
no question,
body positions.
But you could get 100 of those during the game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's so true.
Robbo, thank you. By the way, when we didn't yesterday really give Brian Kelly a rap for the conversion on full time.
Yeah, what a kick that was.
What a kick.
I agree.
It's actually been completely lost in all this. Because I don't think he's a regular kicker as well, is he?
Third string kicker because... Yeah. Campbell was supposed to be the kicker, but he went off injured.
Right.
But he was only
second
string kicker behind, and I can't remember who it is. So he was like the third.
Ten aboard usually. Their kicker.
Yeah, and he missed his first one. Apparently, I didn't see that. Yeah. And then he hit his kick from the sideline, which is everyone usually hits little draws when they kick. Jonathan, you remember the Jonathan Thurston big banana? He hit a cut. He went the other way.
Yeah. Left to right.
Yeah,
it was a superb kick, and completely
lost. Look
at
this one on the SMS line, boys. 1.5 competition points for a golden point win, 0.5 for a loss.
Oh.
Loving it.
We may as well make it 4-2, even make it 3. Oh, mate, it
fires everyone up, this one, though.
Oh,
everyone's got their theories on what should happen as far as points are concerned. And it'll happen again this season, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There'll be another one.
Could be this weekend.
And Rabs from Croydon points out in the NHL, over there in the American ice hockey, draws get 1 point and play till winner, 5 minutes overtime, then a shootout. If no result, would need to be adjusted for league after 10 minutes, but there is some merit in this approach. That's right. They get a point, I think, for an overtime loss in the NHL. But look, we're never going to keep everyone happy. But I do take Adam Pengilly's point with Golden Point as well. We are in the entertainment business.
Mm, yeah.
And it does do that.
Certainly does. Mm.
Yeah, good point.
It's captivating there at the end of the game where you...
Unless you lose,
yeah. Then you throw stones at your TV and remote control cops are belting.
And hence why when we spoke to Kevvy Walters before, when you asked him about it, I think you asked him, didn't you, Brad?
Yep.
He doesn't like it. No. And coaches wouldn't. No. Because you're thinking, worst case, aren't you, as a coach?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, we've busted our guts for 80 minutes and here we are losing in extra time to, you know... A completely different game with, you know, obviously, as we've spoken about, the referees putting the whistle in the pocket. Mm. Teams.
Which can cost you a season.
But mind you, they tend to do that in the last 5 minutes as well when the games are closed. So it's not just Golden Point. Like if you watch the games towards, very rarely will you see, if it's 10-all.
Yeah, good.
Mm. They'll be standing up, they'll be lying on the ruck. It is the nature of the referee.
It's all game, really, Stu, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it. It's the whole game, but it's obviously the last minutes of any sport
is
what you dramatise, is what wins or loses, but in theory it doesn't.
The referees don't want to be the one seen to be
correct
determining the result of the game. So they're sitting there saying, well, I don't want to be the one. However, they are actually doing that by not calling a penalty, which is a penalty for the other 75 minutes of the game. They are actually determining the result of the game by not officiating the game like the way it has been officiated
before. Do we know how many golden points there are in a season, like on average? Oh. How many points go into how many games go into golden point? It'd be an interesting percentage to know.
About a dozen?
Yeah.
Over the course of the season?
Yeah, it's big. Mm. Like when you think about that, if you're in two or three of these and the chance of going, let's say you're in three and you get a point, there's three points that if you lose all three... You get zero. You're 3 points more, and how many teams miss the eight by two?
Yeah, correct. So,
hence, I reckon why most coaches would be
happy with the draw.
Yep. Exactly right. Just some other cricket news to keep an eye on heading towards the 2020 World Cup. Stu, Mitch Marsh suffered a hamstring tear at the IPL. So he's of course our captain, isn't he? And June.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be right. You'd think he'd be right. He got a little bit of time, depending on the severity of it. He's not young anymore, Mitch. He'd be in his 30s now, so
always longer.
Always a little bit longer, but you watch them rehab hamstrings in the rugby league. They sort of, you know, we were just talking about Adam Reynolds then. Like they put them through these workload processes that they've got to do a certain amount and a certain amount, and they've got to tick off. It's a bit like when they come back from knee reconstructions now that they get them. They've got to be able to do that, and they've got to have that much flexion, and they've got to be able to squat that much, and it moves all the way through. Hamstrings are very much in the same boat. Mitchell want to be playing.
Taken out of the players' hands a lot.
The players have no say. Yeah, the players can say, "Look, there may be if it's the grand final, the best player maybe." But very much now, it's a very very scientific approach. You've got to have done that.
You've got to tick off each box.
That's it, and it's a real procedural thing now with any of these injuries. That's why remember the old days, blokes would hurt their hamstring, they'd be back in like 2 weeks, and some would be fine, and some wouldn't be. No, the Nathan Cleary's in the same boat. Like he's probably fine, but they're going, "Well, hang on, he hasn't been able to do." That final test to get him back on the field.
Yeah.
Tom from Tamworth. Middle, if teams get pumped by 40 or 50, they should get a point for participation. Hashtag 2024, everybody wins. Tom from Tamworth.
Yeah. That's good.
Tongue in cheek. Alan, good morning. How are you?
G'day, boys. Look, just my 2 cents worth on the points, mate. Look, leave it as it is, guys. There's a winner, there's a loser. That's what sport is, mate. And, mate, I've been there. I think we've all been there. If your team wins, you love Golden Point. If it loses, you throw bricks at the TV. Simple as that.
Yeah. So keep it as is. And even in the finals, how we went away from Golden Point, and now it's just 10 minutes extra time, and whatever happens, happens. So are you happy with that as well?
Look, but in finals, you can understand it's a different sort of competition. Yeah. I can understand that. But the other thing too, boys, you've got the broadcast rights. You know, you run over time if they go 10 each way, so there's a lot more involved. But look, to me, guys, sport's been sport. There's a winner and a loser, and that's how it should be. That's my perception anyway, boys. So.
Yeah, good point.
No, good on you, Alan.
Good on you, Alan.
Appreciate it. I'm sure many would agree with you as well. Okay, before we get and preview the racing shows, while we've got you, Brad, I'm going to get a tip off you for all these play-in games the NBA. So tomorrow, New Orleans and the Lakers. This is 7v8 in the West, so it's in New Orleans. $1.92 a pick with Tab. Who are we going?
Lakers just beat them yesterday. to get into the play-in spot with them. It will be a much better Pelicans team, but Lakers to win it.
I'm not shocked you tipped the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Sacramento and Golden State. What a game this is going to be. 9 v 10. The Sacramento Kings are $2.20 at home. Golden State at $1.70. Skinny line, 2.5. I think Golden State's record this season has been very good against them.
Yeah, look, Kings struggle at this time of year. We've seen this a number of times. I don't think they have the caliber of players to play at that level, and I think the Warriors to win that one.
Okay, yeah, just trying to track their games over the course of the season, which I can't find.
Can I ask you another what happened to this basketball player question back in the day? You know, right. What about Dwayne McLean?
D-Train. So I still speak to him quite regularly.
Is he in Australia still?
No, he is in Miami. Lives in Miami, living it up over there. I think he was there. I think he's still there. Yeah. A Kings legend. Absolutely love him. He is such a lovely guy as well.
Right, okay.
Got a kid here still.
Is he?
Yep. So
Dwayne, what about Rodney O?
Rodney O's around.
Is he still the voice?
Gosh, yeah. These are the glory days, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm going back right to the
Kings. No, O's around. He's around.
Is he still voice-overing?
Not at the Kings.
Not at the Kings. I thought he was still. When you hear it, they've just got someone that sounds like him.
He's good. But I think he's still in the industry, if you call it, but certainly not calling basketball.
Right, okay.
Yeah. There was two all the season series between the Warriors and the Kings. All right, let's go east. The two east games are on Thursday. So 7-8 is Philadelphia $1.54 at home against the Miami Heat $2.55, a flat line of 4, 76 is the minus.
I love Miami. I really do, but they're not playing well. And I just can't see them beating Philly, who I think are on a 7 or 8 game winning streak at the moment as well. So Embiid's back, and I just, as much as I hate to say it.
Doesn't look fit.
Yeah, Embiid, he never does. Like, I'd hate to play with that. But anyway, I think Philly to get that one.
Two teams with below 500 records in the 9-10 game. Chicago, the Bulls, $1.65 at home against the Atlanta Hawks, who I think get Trae Young back at $2.30.
Bulls, I just can't see Atlanta winning that game. They've been a bit of a train wreck all year. Got into the play-in spot, like you said, but yeah, Bulls to win that.
Beautiful stuff, and we'll have you on to review those and look ahead to the playoff series on Friday as well. On the text line here, lads, NRL is a brilliant sports competition. Why do you always keep talking about making changes? Broncos v Cowboys, one of the best grand finals decided by a field goal in extra time.
Wasn't that brilliant?
Well, it's been just, you know, heavily debated out of the weekend of two golden point games.
If you're standing still, you're not going forward. You're not taking it. And seriously, sports shows like this wouldn't exist without debate of that nature. Well, we're sitting here talking about what? Oh, geez, that game was good on the weekend. Yeah. Another draw.
What a draw!
Did you see Ricky and Des shook hands and had a beer after the game?
No issues with the refs. Perfect.
Geez, they did wonderfully well. The refs, they blew
that whistle. I didn't even notice them.
We wouldn't have it.
Please. Okay, I think Dave Stanley's waiting for us. By the way, Steve Hewlett coming up on Radio Tab this morning, and Dave Stanley, a big racing HQ. How are you, DS?
Yeah, morning, boys.
Morning.
Very, very good this morning. And I heard you guys talking yesterday, a lot of texts about the heroes and villains in relation to Pride of Jenny. That was extraordinary on Saturday. We had a great punters post-mortem yesterday where we sort of dissected and analysed the race. And today I'm going to chat with Kieran Maher straight after scratchings, talk about just how that mare has pulled up and I guess what the plans are for the future, because you'd have to think there's some more lofty targets in store for Pride of Jenny. Richard Callender will join me this morning. John O'Shea, they've got linebacker. That stable heading towards the Champagne on Saturday. Second favourite, Bjorn Baker. What about the Quokka? I know that this show doesn't go into Perth, but pretty much goes everywhere else in the country. And from a New South Wales perspective, we've got several horses going over to the Quokka, and then for our Queensland audience, we're probably going to see some of those horses race in that Queensland Winter Carnival. So looking forward to chatting with Bjorn. Michael Freeman will join us. And then also a big week in Orange, boys. Thursday night, we've got the Calcutta for the Orange Cup at the Robin Hood Hotel. They've done the big sports and tab area up. I know the tab are going to be out there on Thursday night with a bit of a surprise and delight. And then the big Orange Cup on Friday is going to be a beauty at the racetrack, and we'll talk with Bree from the race club about how people can get to
big
a
week.
Beautiful part of New South Wales, Middo. Have a punt.
They've just had Food Week, which was a very busy week there in Orange last week. had a lot of great events on. My adorable sister was involved in quite a bit of that in her capacity there. So, no, they had a very big week, and the Orange Cup coming up as well. Gee, I forgot the Quokka was on this weekend. So I see Amelius Jewell at the top of the betting with Tab at $3.20 and Bjorn's Overpass, last year's winner, at $5.50. But that's going to be a great addition in the second year of that race, Dave.
Yeah, it is. And as I said to our Queensland audience that are listening to this, and we saw it last year, we saw Overpass go up to Brisbane afterwards. So the plane came back and then Overpass went up and narrowly was beaten in a BTC. We're probably going to see Amelius Jewell in Queensland. That's what Steve Hewlett's been saying the last couple of months. The plan is to go to Queensland for maybe one or two runs, and then she would come to Sydney. She would be trained in Sydney by a particular trainer. There's a lot of rumours going around that that trainer might be at Rose Hill, but we don't know where Amelia Stewart will be officially trained. What we do know is her owner would love to try and get her into the Everest. So that would be the plan. So I guess Saturday is a bit of a precursor. We've seen her flash home in a Quokka before, as you mentioned, Middo. But if she's to win and win well on Saturday with Damien Lane on board, Damien going across. I know we've got Craig Williams there, Josh Parr, a number of big jocks heading to the west. So if she can win, maybe she trims up in an Everest market for the spring. Very, very exciting, boys.
And just a reminder, Cairns is off today as well after Kilcoy was off yesterday. But Steve Hewlett will have those details on Radio Tab coming up. Dave, thank you. We'll catch you shortly. I just want to say goodbye to the boys and thanks for filling in this morning. Brad Rose and Stewie Clark.
Thank you so much.
Good fun, fellas. Yep. Thanks, Middo. It was easy. And we'll hope Laurie's okay. That's all I hope for.
Poor Mozza.
Have a great Tuesday, everyone.